We start in verse 6, and Paul's going to talk about wisdom. He's been talking a little bit about worldly wisdom and how our faith has nothing to do with the wisdom of this world. In verse 5, if you look back at verse 5, it says that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So that was Paul's desire. And so Paul said, I didn't come with these great, intelligent, magnificent words. I didn't come preaching this wonderful sermon. I just proclaimed to you Jesus Christ. I wanted your faith in the power of God, in the power to transform you and change your life. That's what I wanted. Not in me, not because I said something wonderful, but in what God has done for you. That's where I want your faith. So there's the worldly wisdom. And I think the church at Corinth had tried to incorporate that worldly wisdom into their faith. And at times I think we do the same thing. And so certainly now Paul's going to switch gears. He's going to talk about, okay, so here's what worldly wisdom is like, but here's God's. Here's what God's wisdom is. Back in verse 25, Paul makes this statement. He says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And then he goes and talks about us, right? Those who he has called, those who have placed their faith in Christ, we are the foolishness, right? We are the weakness, right? That's stronger. That's greater than anything this world has, for sure. And so now he's going to talk about God's wisdom that leads to faith, leads to eternal life, leads to a life of submission, to obedience, discipline, to understanding spiritual things. The ability to properly interpret and apply God's word. That's all part of God's wisdom. And so we get this wisdom certainly from his word, from his spirit. And so Paul's going to talk about that. He's going to talk about here's what godly wisdom, this is what it looks like. And Paul's going to then, from this, out of this, then address the next issue that this church had. And we'll deal with that issue next week. And their issue was they were immature. Their issue was that they had the Spirit, they had God's wisdom, but they weren't using it. They still wanted to incorporate man's wisdom. And so, but at first he's going to tell them, here's what godly wisdom looks like. So we start in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. God's wisdom is mysterious. God's wisdom is mysterious. Verse 6 says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, and yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. So first off, Paul makes this statement that wisdom, God's wisdom, is for those who are mature, right? He's saying this is for those who certainly are genuine followers of Jesus Christ, have placed their faith in Christ, but are growing. They're growing in their faith. They're maturing in their faith. That's who this wisdom, he says, yes, God has a wisdom, and I didn't start there. I started with, I wanted you to understand who Jesus is and what Jesus did for you, and I wanted you to place your faith in what God has provided for you through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's where I started. Now, as your faith is maturing, as we're looking into the deep things of God, right? That is for those who are mature, those who are in this process of growing in their faith. And so he says, I didn't teach you worldly wisdom. It's not based on man's ability to reason and intellect and all that, right? It's not based on, and he brings up here the rulers, the leaders of that are of this world, certainly the religious leaders or the political leaders or whoever, right? He's like, they have their way of thinking and looking at things. It wasn't that way. It's God's wisdom. And the world certainly has its way that it views things. It has its way and those that it listens to and finds wise. And it's easy to, you know, like, yeah, we see that. But do we? Do we? I think of where we're at today. In our world today, right? And we think of all the stuff that is going on. And it's like, people have gone nuts, Right? I mean, just logically. I mean, even in just human reason. It's like people have just gone crazy. And the things that they are believing and the things that they're claiming to be true, it's like it's just not even physically possible, some of the things that they're proclaiming. And yet, if you disagree or if you try to say, no, that's not reality or no, that can't happen, you're called a hater. You're told you don't love people. I'm like, what? Right? So, like, what is it? What is it that the world listens to? What is it? Who is it that the world finds wise? And I want to give you a name, just something to put in the back of your mind. Here is who the world is listening to right now. You may have heard of this man, you may not have. Yuval Noah Harari. Yuval Noah Harari, he is a Jew. He doesn't believe in God. He is the person that the world is listening to. He is. He is the person that speaks at all the big, huge conferences that all the world leaders go to. This man speaks. He's written books. He's a bestseller. His books are flying off the shelves right now. People are listening to this man and the wisdom that he is espousing. He believes in evolution, for sure, right? He believes we've evolved, which, I mean, that kind of tells you where he's at. But he believes, and he proclaims this loudly, that man is becoming God. He says that. We are becoming God. He says evolution has brought us to this point where we are at. We rule over all the other animals. We've evolved. We've, you know, kind of arrived. And again, he doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in creation. So that's, you know, that's where he's at. And he says, but technology is going to make us like God. And you can go and you can watch what he says on YouTube. Here, like, if you want to know what Paul talks about, the spirit of Antichrist, there it is. That man. This man. I don't believe he's the Antichrist, but he is a Antichrist. And everything he espouses is anti-God, and that we as man are becoming God. Through technology, we will get rid of death. Through technology, there will be no more hunger. There will be, right, all the things that we have, the issues that we have because of sin, because of the fallen state we are in. He says technology is going to bring us to the place where we don't have to deal with that stuff anymore. Of course, he doesn't acknowledge that there is a God. And so that's what he's proclaiming. And so the world leaders are listening to him. And there's a lot more that goes into it. Right? And if you're looking and you're paying attention to any of the news, it's like, why is the world, why are we intentionally trying to cut back on food production? Right? I don't know if you've noticed that, but there's a lot going on with that. Why? Because this man is proclaiming we need to get rid of at least a third of the human population right now. And the news media has already picked up on this and is already proclaiming that people are going to die and starve to death. They're just preparing us for it. Right, so that's right. That's human reason. That's it. Who is it that in our day, the leaders, the rulers of this world, who are they listening to? This man. That's who they're listening to. Right, and again, it's the spirit of Antichrist. And as Paul says here, and we need to remind ourselves, it is all coming to nothing. It's all coming to nothing because it's not real. It's not true. Right? Because God created the heavens and the earth. We are not going to become God. That is the lie of Satan. That's the old lie, right? He told Adam and Eve, right? If you partake of this, you will become like God. And we are still trying to accomplish that and failing. And failing. Right? God certainly has redeemed us. He has cleansed us of sin, not so that we can be gods, but so that we can be his children, so that we can fulfill the purpose that he created us to fulfill, right? And glorifying him. So we think of the world. We think of the wisdom of the world. We think of the world leaders and rulers in all aspects of life, whether they're political or they're rulers of industry or they're rulers of, right, the leaders that rule this world financially and all of that. Right? They have those that they listen to. And then I love how Paul talks here. He says, okay, look at God's wisdom certainly is in a mystery. Right? It's in a mystery. And the mystery here is not that we're trying to solve a puzzle. The mystery is not that we have all this information, now we're going to solve it. It's that God has revealed Himself progressively. Right? God has revealed, at the beginning He revealed this much, and as we go through history, He's revealed more and more and more and more. But not everything. Not everything. And Paul's pointing out, right, God's not changing His mind. God doesn't get to a certain point and be like, you know what, this really isn't working very well. This whole animal sacrifice thing, yeah, that was a dumb idea. I don't think we're going to do that anymore. I think I'll get rid of that. No. Right? No, that's not. Everything is being done according to God's plan that He foreordained before He even created this universe. Right? But He hasn't told us everything that's going to happen. And so there are things that are mysteries. There are things that God hasn't told us but now has revealed to us. Certainly who Messiah is. Certainly the church. End times, coming judgment, right? Some of those things, right? And even that, we don't know absolutely everything. There's still God has there's things that are hidden, things that God has not revealed to us, and we will not know until they happen. And until the right time. I mean, we look at parts of Daniel, and even in the book of Revelation, there's things that God said, yeah, don't, you saw that, don't say anything about it. It's a mystery. I'm not gonna reveal that. We don't know. That's okay. Right, so here's God's wisdom. Here's what God is doing. And God certainly has this plan, and He is enacting it, and it's going forward. And so He says, look at the rulers of this world. Look at what they did to the Messiah. Look at who they did to the Lord of glory. They crucified Him. Right? They crucified Him. They killed Him. Right? They saw Him as a threat to their power. And so they had Him eliminated. That's what they did. In their own wisdom, in their own reasoning, that was the solution. That's what needed to be done. And so that's what they did. If they had only known. Hey, Paul says here, if they had only known what they were truly doing. If they had only known that in what they were doing, they were providing eternal life for the world. Right? They crucified the Lord, who God in His wisdom, God in His plan, had foreordained that this is what is going to happen. This is how He is going to cleanse man of sin by providing the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, right? And they're the ones that sacrificed Him. If they had only known, right? As Paul said, if they truly had understood what was going on there, they would have never done it. If they knew that they were actually doing what God wanted, they wouldn't have done it. But they, in their selfishness, they, in their own wisdom, in their own thoughts, thought they were doing what they needed to do. They certainly saw Christ as a threat, and He was, and is. And so they crucified Him. And so Paul says, look, here, right, in our own thinking, in man's wisdom, would we have ever thought up that plan? No. Right? No. Right? But God, right? God's wisdom and the way God is doing this is so much better. So much greater than we can even comprehend. And so he quotes from Isaiah there, Isaiah 64. Right? He says, look, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. He says, look, here's this wisdom, right, that is for our glory. He says that at the end of verse 7. It's for our glory. He doesn't say for God's glory. He says for our glory. Right? That's kind of interesting. Right? Because here's man in his own wisdom trying to glorify himself, trying to redeem himself. And Paul says, no, here's God's plan, and this glorifies us. Right? Because we are cleansed of sin, we are redeemed, we are brought out of this state of being dead and given eternal life. So it's for our glory. Certainly in this, God is glorified, for sure. Right, so we are glorified, and so eye has not seen nor ear heard. Right? There's nothing that we could see or we could look at empirically. There's nothing that we could do scientifically and come up with this. Nor has it entered into our hearts. Right, that which is subjective, that which is rational, which God has given to man, not to the animals, but to man to be able to reason things out, rational. Right, it hasn't even entered into our mind what God is doing. The things that God has prepared who love Him. And so we look at things, and certainly we look at all of Scripture, we look at God's Word and how all these all it all comes together, and how it all comes together in Jesus Christ. The Word of God is not man-made. It is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. Right? Over thousands of years, 66 books, one message. Right? And it all comes together. Right? There's no way that we as humans could come up with this stuff. Right? It is of God. It is the Word of God. It is beyond understanding. It is too wonderful. Turn to Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64. We're kind of towards the middle of your Bible. If you get to Psalms, you got a little bit too far. Isaiah 64. We'll start in verse 1. Isaiah 64 verse 1 says, "Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down, that the mountains might shake at your presence. As fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, that the nations may tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things for which we did not look, you came down, the mountains shook at your presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by ear, nor has I seen any God beside you, who acts for the one who waits for him. You meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. You are indeed angry, for we have sinned. In these ways we continue, and we need to be saved." So here's the prophet Isaiah crying out to God. Right? And I see myself crying out this exact same thing sometimes. "Lord, just make yourself known. Right? Look at all these idiots out there denying your very existence. Just do something." Right? That's what Isaiah is proclaiming here. That's what he's crying out for as well. Just shake the heavens. Just make it obvious that you are God and we are nothing. Right? Just do that. That's what That's what he's crying out for. And then as he's in the middle of that, as he's crying out for that, he's just certainly reminded of how wonderful and how great God is and how insignificant he is. And so he says, "Hey, we can't even understand how wonderful you are. We can't understand what you are doing, Lord." And so Paul quotes from this, quotes from verse 4. But then Isaiah continues on and he talks about certainly, right, you are righteous and remember you in your ways, and we are sinners. We are sinners. We have defiled your name. Right? We have broken your law. We've rebelled against you. And I love that last sentence there, and we need to be saved. We need to be saved. Now, Isaiah didn't know what the full extent of that looked like. Right? He didn't know. He prophesied the Messiah. He prophesied of the suffering of Messiah. But he didn't know for sure what all of that looked like. And so Paul, as he's quoting Isaiah, is proclaiming, look at the gospel. Look at what our God has done for us in sacrificing his son. It's beyond our ability to reason and understand and just how wonderful that is and how great our God is. We need to be saved. Yes, we do, Isaiah. And we are saved through the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was crucified by the rulers of this world. Because they didn't get it. They didn't understand. Now the final completion of that, Isaiah in chapter 65, then talks about the new heaven and new earth. Right? Eventually, right? Here God certainly is going to redeem, and then eventually we get a new heaven, a new earth, new bodies. Right? No sin, no corruption. Eventually we'll get there. We're not there yet, but we will someday. That's where our hope is. And certainly all of that is beyond our ability to understand and comprehend what that's going to be like. And so we begin here in just this with faith, right? Just faith, just trusting God. God, I accept what you've done for me through your Son, Jesus Christ. Right? I place my faith in that. I'm trusting in that. And that's the beginning, right? That's the beginning. And then we continue and mature, and we have God's wisdom here that is revealed to us through his word. And so God's wisdom, it is mystery. It's a mystery. It's mysterious in that God is revealing what he's doing progressively to us. And it's beyond, certainly beyond anything in human reason we would understand in and of ourselves. And so then Paul continues back in 1 Corinthians. Paul continues about this wisdom. Yes, in and of ourselves, we wouldn't understand. We wouldn't get it. And so in verse 10, Paul's going to say this: God's wisdom is revealed by His Spirit. God's wisdom is revealed by His Spirit. Verse 10. It says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So we have all the truth that we need in the Word of God. Right? It's contained within Scripture, within the Bible, that we need, right? This is the truth. And it's revealed to us through the Spirit of God. As Paul says here, the deep things of God. The true understanding of what the Word of God says as it speaks to us, right? We have that through the Spirit. It's through the Spirit that stuff's revealed to us. There have been many that have read through this book and were bored, right? Were bored. They didn't get it, didn't understand it, didn't make any sense. But when they came to Christ, right? It's like, oh, that's what that means. I understand now. And certainly the Word of God, it is alive. It is truth. It is living water. I don't know how many times I've read through the same passage a bunch of times, and then later I'll read through it again, and it just takes on a whole nother meaning just depending on where I'm at and what God is speaking to me, right? So certainly, right, it is alive, and God's Spirit communicates it to us so that we would know Him. And so Paul uses this illustration here. And he asks us, who truly knows you? Right? Who truly knows who you are? Does your spouse? Probably not, right? They don't really know who you are. Does your best friend? Hey, it doesn't matter how open we are with people. It doesn't matter how much we might want people to understand who we are. We truly will never communicate everything that's in our heart. We will never truly communicate who we are. But as Paul says, right, your spirit knows who you are. That's it. Now, he's not talking about God, right? Of course, God knows who we are. God knows every thought and deed and everything, for sure. But he's talking, right, human, in human relationship terms here. Who truly knows you? Nobody. Except your spirit, right? Your spirit knows the deep things of who you are. Deep down, who you really are. Your spirit knows. And so he says, so it is with God. Right? So it is with God. Who knows God? The Spirit of God. Right? It is the Spirit of God that can truly communicate to us who God is. Right? So he says here, right? Humanly, we can't truly understand who we try to, but a lot of it's just superficial in our relationships. But with God, that's not the way it is. Because we've been given the Spirit of God. When we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we are told we are given God's Spirit. We're given the Holy Spirit. It comes and it resides in us and it is able to communicate to us who our God is and to teach us that we would grow in our faith and who He is. Right? We have God's Spirit. We know who God is. That we can understand the things of God. That's true wisdom. Right? That's true wisdom. That deals with truth and righteousness. But here's the problem. Worldly wisdom is so enticing. Right? What the world offers is, right, it's enticing. And often we want to be a part of it because we want to be a part of a community and we want to be a part of this or that. And we want to be accepted into it. And unfortunately, we have churches that are full of Christians that are following worldly wisdom. We do. And Paul's going to address that. Right? Because that's the case. That happens. And so really this is kind of like reminding us what we have in Christ, what we have in the Spirit of God, and how we should be growing, how we should be maturing, how we should be learning, and the knowledge that we should understand. Right? But we so often want to be accepted, we want to be seen as smart, we want to be seen as relevant, we want to be seen as loving and accepting of everyone else. And so when we go around and tell people, hey, you need Jesus, you're a sinner, they're like, what? I'm a what? Right? The world in itself, the flesh in itself, doesn't want to hear the things of God. And so it's enticing to then compromise. It's enticing then to want to incorporate worldly wisdom into our faith. It is. That's the temptation. And Paul's going to continue here. He's going to continue on this thought of wisdom. Certainly we have this wisdom is revealed to us by God's Spirit. And then the last thing Paul's going to point out here is God's wisdom is for the spiritual. God's wisdom is for the spiritual. Verse 13. Says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can we know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Again, Paul reminds us. He's not speaking with man's reasoning and man's logic and man's wisdom. He's like, what I taught you is with the Spirit of God. What God teaches. It is spiritual. It is truth. It is righteousness. But the natural man rejects those things. The natural man hates the things of God. Again, it's foolishness. Paul's been saying that over and over, right? It is foolishness to him. Because it's spiritual. And they've denied it. They've denied the truth of God. They've denied even the existence of God. But he says, but we who are spiritual, those who are born again, those who have placed their faith in Christ, those who have the Spirit of God, right? We are able to judge, we are able to discern all things. What is truth? So Paul's saying we don't have an excuse to be deceived. We don't. Because we have the Word of God, and we have the Spirit of God that is able to, we are able to judge and discern for ourselves. Who knows, who understands the mind of the Lord? I ask this last question here. Right? Who's able to tell God, you know what? God, if you had just known this about me, or God, if you had just done it this way, or God, right, if you could just do this instead. Right? Who is able to tell God anything? Who is able to instruct and teach God himself? Rhetorical question, right? None. None. There's no one. But as Paul says here, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. And so if what we are living and what we are teaching does not line up with this, guess who's wrong? Not this. Right? Not this. This isn't wrong. We're wrong. Right? And so Paul's trying to, that's what he's trying to get across to us. We have the mind of Christ. We know what's right and what's wrong. We know what's truth and what is not. This world is full of deceit. As it changed from the time of Paul, right? They worship the emperor. And, I mean, yeah. Right? I mean, things have not really changed that much. Just kind of the way it's the trappings that the world puts on different things. But right, this world is full of deceit, full of corruption, full of wickedness. But we, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have no excuse to be deceived by that stuff. Right? We should not be deceived. We have the mind of Christ. We have the full Word of God. We have the Spirit of God. But unfortunately, many are deceived. And we see it in our churches in America today. We do. We see it. We see people that are deceived by a bunch of nonsense. Right? The whole wokeness and all, right? All that. Don't get me started on all that stuff. Right? We see it, right? We see all that stuff. It's like, how is it that someone who claims to be a follower of Jesus can even try to incorporate that? Because it doesn't fit with God's Word at all. Period. But they do. And so Paul says this, and we'll look at this next week, but just kind of wet your whistle a little bit, give you a little bit of taste. Chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says this, "But I, brother, could not speak to you as to spiritual." Right? Here are believers. He's already, chapter 1, he says, "I know you are followers of Jesus Christ," and he encouraged them in their faith in Christ. Right? He says, you are followers of Jesus Christ. You are disciples of Jesus Christ. But at this point, I could not speak to you as spiritual. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the wisdom that you give us. We thank you that you have brought us to yourself, that we have been brought to that place of understanding of who Christ is and what he's done for us. We thank you for faith, to trust in you, Lord. I just pray that you would help us not to be deceived. Help us not to desire the things that this world is proclaiming, but to truly know you, proclaim your truth, live your truth, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's stand as we close our service. We'll sing our last song. Blessed Assurance.
My Savior, all
All right, thank you all for coming and worshiping with us. Pray that you have a great week. You're dismissed. Just a reminder to all the parents, I need to meet with you.